Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about connecting to your partner, understanding and supporting their purpose. Sounds easy. Sometimes it's not. So it bears taking a minute to talk about this. This is in a long line of stops on your journey of connecting to your partner. And we've spoken before about connecting to your partner through concepts that are associated with the root chakra, the sacral chakra, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat. And now we're going to talk about the third eye chakra. And the chakras are just a really great way to kind of map out all the different ways that you can connect to your partner and that you should explore within that relationship. So located just above the eyes, in between the eyes and just a little bit above that, the third eye represents higher perception, intuition, purpose, and inspiration. All of these factors that we see in our humanity. Connecting to your partner's higher perception, your partner's intuition, your partner's purpose and inspiration is going to include understanding and supporting their purpose, creating a shared vision of your future together, encouraging and appreciating their natural intuition, and seeing their divine light. That is, seeing the inherent divinity within them. So let's talk about understanding and supporting their purpose. We each have a purpose in this life, and it evolves over time. It's often suggested that we're here to first learn something, and then to give back by giving a gift that we brought with us for humanity. We all have natural gifts. Your purpose is to share your gift, which is unique to each of us. But for all of us, our purpose is to share our gift. Now, figuring out what that gift is and how to share it exactly is really quite challenging. It's not nearly as obvious as you think it should be. Until you figure it out, and then it's the most obvious thing in the world. So over time, you and your partner will each find your purpose, or your next purpose. Maybe you have several different purposes over your life. Maybe you have several different gifts to share. Or you come up with several different ways to share them. The important thing is to support your partner's purpose. No matter what it is. If their purpose is to be an amazing chef, that might be pretty easy to support. But what if their purpose is to help people in war zones? What if their purpose takes them away from you sometimes? It has to be okay. Because to hold them back from their purpose is to make them miserable. And a good partner does not want to see their love in misery. Meanwhile, you are discovering your own purpose. And your partner can support you in that as well. This goes both ways, right? We don't ever want it to be one partner supporting the other, but the other isn't doing anything in return. Right? We want this to be a mutual support of the seeking and the carrying out and the reveling in purpose. Carrying out your purpose fills your soul. When you're together, then you'll have that much more to give each other. So here are some fun exercises to help you both find your purpose. My best advice would be to try them all until you find one that works for you. and or you spot a pattern or a connection in the results. So here they are. And these come right out of the book Purna Asati. So if you haven't seen the big red, what I call the big red book yet, titled Purna Asati, go and check that out. Go to the website, follow the links to books, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And here I'm kind of tweaked them out a little bit for partners. So first let's talk about free flow writing. Free flow writing is where you get a blank piece of paper, or you pull up a blank note on your phone or your computer or whatever, and choose the method that is going to let you get ideas down the fastest, right? If you type faster than you write, grab a device, you know, your phone, tablet, laptop, whatever. If you write faster than you type, grab a piece of paper and do whatever will make help you to work faster. So you start by asking yourself, what is my purpose? Or what is my mission in life? However you want to frame it. Then write absolutely whatever comes to mind. Just start listing. Absolutely everything. Don't judge it. Don't think about it. Just start writing. Just start listing and keep listing and keep listing and keep listing until you get to something that makes you tear up, something that makes you emotional. An emotional response is the key to finding the right answer. You'll know it when it makes you emotional, right? Not something that just makes you think, that's nice, or that's fun, or that's useful, or I'd be good at that, but something that makes you go, oh, yeah, that's it so much you're about to cry. So that's free flow writing. That can be a very interesting exercise. I often get the question, how long does it take in free flow writing to get to that emotional answer? I've seen it as quick as 15 minutes, and I've seen it take as long as a week. So be patient with yourself. So the next one is intersections. So for this one, you would write down four separate lists. The first list is what you're good at. Anything you're good at. I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care if the world needs it or not. I don't care if you can get paid for it or not. You're just good at it. Absolutely everything that you're good at. And the second list is what you enjoy. Now, if you want to, you can just pull these from the first list, right? To look at everything in your first list and ask, what of those things do I enjoy? Or you can make an entirely separate list, which is what you enjoy. And when you think about what you enjoy, you know, don't judge it for whether the world needs it or whether you can get paid for it or whether you're any good at it. You just like it. You might like to do something that you're not actually all that good at. That's okay. Or you can take your list from what you are good at and whittle that down to what are you good at and you enjoy it. For our third list, we want a list of what you think the world needs. Not what somebody else thinks the world needs. What you personally think the world needs. And for your fourth list is what you can get paid for. Now, let's talk about that one. So really, your purpose or your mission in life is what lies at the intersection of the first three things. I'm going to make an argument about the relevance of that fourth thing, getting paid. So what you're good at, what you enjoy, and what the world needs. That's where your purpose and your mission will be found. Now, I don't really necessarily agree with the idea that your purpose in life will necessarily be linked to income. Maybe, maybe not, or maybe you have several purposes in over the course of your life, and some of them are money makers and some of them are not. I suspect that the idea of being able to be paid for it suggests that it has value to society at large, And I would focus more on that, right? We're just saying it has value to society. The world needs it. That means you already said the world needs it. So to say that it has value is to say that the world recognizes that it needs it. Not just you think the world needs it, but the world agrees that it does need it. So there's value to humanity in that. They see that they need it. They want that. And that may be seen in terms of being paid to do it or some other form of validation or appreciation. But if you're doing this exercise because you want a new career and you're not yet financially free, then yes, I absolutely would include getting paid for it. If you are financially independent, then I would not include the concept of getting paid for it. All right, that's the second exercise. The third one you can try, completely independent exercise here, is what have you always done? So in this exercise, you look back from your childhood until now, and you ask yourself, what have you always done? And I mean since you were three, you know, very small, 3 to 5 years old. What have you always done? When nobody's looking, when you're not getting paid to do it, when you're not getting any credit or adulation for it, what must you do just because you can't imagine not doing it? What activities are just at the core of your being and always have been? Because there's so much of us that evolves over time, but there's a core part of our being that does not evolve over time. That's always been there, right? There's just this core of things that you feel compelled to pursue that has never changed, despite everything else about you that has changed. That's what you're looking for. And partners come in here because if your partner has known you for a long time, they can help contribute to that list. They can help contribute to the list of things that you're good at because you may not recognize everything that you're good at. They can help you, your partner can help you validate any idea that you might think, you know, is this useful to the world? Do you think the world would find that useful? They can help with that. All right, skills assessment. This is a terrifying one. You want to ask people you trust, so obviously start with your partner. And but you want to make sure that they will tell you honestly, right? And list the skills that you're really, really good at. That can be a very eye-opening exercise. Ask your partner. Don't ask yourself. This is the difference here. What am I good at? What, like, really, really, really good at? Like if I invested more in the skill, I would be best in the world, top 10%. And then you can ask which of those skills gives you joy. And then the most important question, how can you double down on those skills and get even better? And then how can you combine those skills? I mean, if you're world class at two things or three things, and you combine them, you have your own genre of skill set now. Okay, next method is the Simon Sinek method, where you call a number of your closest friends, these need to be people that have known you for a long time, which might be your partner and may not. And not your parents, because they're biased. So for each person, ask them, why are you my friend? And it's just awkward as hell right at the beginning, but they may have a hard time answering that question, need to think about that to really get to the heart of it, but keep digging, and they will eventually have an epiphany about how you make them feel or some other thing that you do for their internal self. This is the value that you bring to humanity. You make people feel a certain way. And if you can nail that, what are you good at making people feel? What is the quality they feel when you're around that is the reason that they want to be around you? You can leverage that into a purpose, a mission, or a vocation. And your partner can help with this too. Ask your partner how you make them feel. And then there's the Tony Robbins method. Now, Tony Robbins has lots of very insightful methods for just about everything. This is no exception. So this one goes like this. When you were very young, 3 to 5 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up? And more importantly, why? Why did you want to be that? It's the why that matters. Then I want you to look in your teenage years. What did you want to do or be for a career when you were a teenager, 13 to 15? And more importantly, why did you want to be that? Then you look into your 20s. What did you want to be for a career? What kind of career did you want and why? Then you look at your 30s, you look at your 40s, you keep going until you reach your present day. And then you throw out all the what and you focus on all the why. What is the pattern in why you were choosing those vocations or careers? And can you combine all those whys into one purpose or one mission or one vocation? It's a very powerful method, really, really useful. And then our last method is more for our intermediate to advanced meditators out there. I call it the sit down, shut up, and listen method. In this method, you simply ask for the answer and it is delivered to you. Yes, you can get there. So it's also called meditation prayer, or as Jesse Elder puts it, cosmic Google. It's wonderfully effective, but it does take some practice. You have to be able to quiet the mind and hear thoughts coming in from God consciousness. So you find a quiet place where you can be alone and be guaranteed to be undisturbed for a period of time, let's say 15 minutes or 60 minutes, however much you would feel comfortable with. You put your phone on airplane mode and you get all your typical distractions as far away from you as possible. You sit down, quiet your mind by listening to the silence around you. And you listen to the silence really intently because you're waiting to hear something. And you ask your question. In this case, what is my mission? Or what is my purpose? Wait patiently for the answer, listening intently to the silence, because it's going to come from the silence. And then you write it down exactly as you heard it. Don't stop to interpret it and don't dismiss it. And it may come in as you hearing it, or just knowing it, or just words that pop into your mind. Just write it down. And then you can think about how that fits in with what you got from the other methods. And this is why I like having a lot of different methods for things. Because if you do every single one of these methods, and you look at the answers you got, it will become apparent what you need to do next. The purpose, the mission, the gifts you have to share with humanity. So let me remind you that your result is not going to look exactly like anything that you've seen before. So if it looks like something you've seen exactly like something that you've seen somebody else do in every way, shape, and form, it's a complete copy, that's not it. Work harder. You need to be more specific or carry out your mission in a more unique way or by a different method. So get creative And don't let society's rules steer you away from your true answer, whatever that happens to be. And don't let your fear of your partner being taken away from you by their purpose make you try to grasp onto them or keep them from what they need to be doing. Whatever their purpose is, even if it's a purpose that takes them away from you for periods of time, revel in it. Encourage them to revel in it. And you go focus, take that opportunity to focus on your purpose. Because what we don't want to see is this subjugation of one partner to the other, or one supporting the other's purpose and the other gets nothing, right? We don't want one-sided relationships. It's a beautiful, infinite give and take where both souls are nurtured and both souls are encouraged to chase purpose and both souls are full and sharing joy. It's worth it. And so that may require some work releasing fear. So you release fear. And with that space, you always have to fill an empty space, right? Fill that empty space with your purpose and your goals. Crazy, right? Give it a try and see how that feels. As always, if you have thoughts, questions, ideas, follow the links in the show notes and let me know what's going on in your world and how I can help. And until next time, I'll be wishing you, Parna Asati, complete connection.